Well, friends, this morning, Vinny Iacampo, a long-term member of our church, is going to share the gospel reading with us as Mark has given it to us. Vin?
Good morning. A reading from Mark, chapter 6, verses 30-34. The apostles all gathered around Jesus to report what they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a peaceful place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves on a boat to a solitary place. But many people who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there before them. When Jesus arrived and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Vinny. There was a conference in London. About 400 people attended. Several breakout sessions, as these conferences offer, and one of the breakout sessions found the leader standing in front of the group gathered reading a list of 300 paint colors alphabetically from a catalog. This conference was called the Boring Concert, a conference, the Boring Conference. There is actually such a thing. Look it up. In London, once a year, there is a conference on things that bore us. Now, none of you would have attended. You're much too busy, as am I. I'm not sure who attends such things. But we wouldn't attend because we're just not ever bored, most of us. I haven't been bored in about 15 years. You see, we're all so busy. We're all going at such a fast pace. Indeed, our society is so incredibly busy and fast-paced that some doctors would say we're killing ourselves with the pace and busyness and speed of our life. Think about it. Our fast-paced society. Do you want your computer to go faster or slower? Of course, you want it to go faster. Then, when you get a new computer that goes faster, what are you hoping for next? The next generation of computers that'll do what? Go faster yet. Where does it end? We want to go faster. Your boss wants a report. Does your boss want the report sooner or later? Fast. Now, if possible. You want someone to get back to you. Maybe you call the doctor's office for an appointment and they need to get back to you. You've left a message. Do you want them to get back to you quickly or slowly? You want to hear from them quickly, of course. You do an online order. Do you want your merchandise delivered fast or slow? We all have this mentality and live in a society in which everything is going fast and we want it to go faster still. Xfinity has a wonderful set of commercials featuring the slow skis. Have you seen it? The slow skis are a family of turtles. And they have given turtles everywhere a bad name because they are slow. But Xfinity says we're so much faster than the other internet providers represented by the slow skis. You don't want to be slow. You want to be fast. We live in a fast-paced society. We live in a busy society. Most people I talk to are overscheduled and always on the run doing something. There's dozens of sources of pressure for us to do things, to join things, to go places. The list, if you're a list keeper, seems always to have more things coming. At work, because of cutbacks, many of you know what it's like now to have to do the work of two, maybe three people because of cutbacks. And you're busier than ever. Some working 10, 12, 14 hours a day when you used to work far less. Our families are getting busier. If there are children in your family, you know that children's activities can find you driving here or there or both and double that after school and on weekends. And you know that multitasking has become so important. It's almost an Olympic sport. The person who can multitask has been lifted up as almost a heroine or hero in our society. It's no wonder that a few years ago, the manufacturer of a paper appointment book was lobbied by customers saying, please put a line so that we can schedule appointments earlier in the day, starting at 6 a.m. It's no wonder that the book, The Hurried Child, is now in its 25th Silver Edition anniversary year, because almost two generations now of children have grown up hurried, hurried, because we're so busy. And it's no wonder that many of us fall asleep at night only bone tired, and then often we can't sleep at all because our busy lives constantly call us to something else, something more. And even when our bodies lie down, our minds keep going, and sometimes our devices are on the bedstand next to us. We live in a busy, fast-paced society. Retirees, you would think that there'd be some slowness and less activity, but people who've retired tell me they're busier than ever. And all of this combines to push God off to the side in our daily living. It becomes harder and harder for us in a fast-paced, busy, overscheduled life to make time for God in our daily routines. And this whole theme came to mind as a woman came to church one Sunday many months ago. And I had not seen this person for a long time, almost a year. And during the year, I had reached out with a phone call, but still had not seen her. And finally, she walked in with her children, and I inquired if everything was all right. I didn't know if there had been a problem or what was going on. This person who had been so regular and consistent at church, and then for almost a year, nothing. And she said, life just got in the way. Have you ever felt that? As you're trying to focus on what you know are the important things, life just gets in the way. And the busy schedules, the fast-paced activities, and our culture in general detours us from what we know, and you know, is the necessary focus on a regular basis on Almighty God. Perhaps it will be of some comfort to know that Jesus knew all about this challenge. What Vinny read for us a moment ago in the Gospel of Mark finds Jesus at the height of his popularity. And that simply means that as word had spread about this healer, this teacher, this miracle worker, people, many desperate, many seeking hope, would come, would walk long distances to find Jesus that he might heal, teach, touch. They knew something special was happening. And if ever you were to read the Gospel of Mark from A to Z, start to finish in one sitting, as I once did, you'd be amazed at the times that Jesus constantly is barraged by people. He can barely get a breath. He goes here, whoosh, more crowds. He goes over here, whoosh, more people. And then the passage that Vinny read a moment ago finds the disciples who have been empowered to go out and teach and to heal. And they've been doing it. They come back. And I love their report. They come back to Jesus. And Mark tells us they told him all that they had done. I can just hear them as they come back. You wouldn't believe, Jesus, what we've been doing. It's kind of like at the end of the day, if you're married, you come home and maybe you say to your wife, how was your day? And you say, you wouldn't believe everything I had to get done today. And then some things went wrong and on and on and on. The disciples say, Jesus, you wouldn't believe all the stuff we've been doing. We haven't even had time to eat. How many of you have been once or more so busy you've forgotten to eat? Yeah. We didn't even have time to eat. We are so busy. And there are so many demands on this ministry of ours. And so, Jesus has a response. He says, come away with me. Let's go away by ourselves to get some rest. And Mark tells us they get into a boat. Now, mind you, they are in Galilee, the northern county of Palestine, modern-day Israel. They go down to the lakeside, they get into a boat, and they decide to go to a quiet, set-aside place where there aren't too many people. And then Mark reports that as they get in the boat, and people on the shore and on the hillsides nearby, and as word spreads that Jesus is going somewhere, people start going to where he's going to get out of the boat. They go around the top, the northern section of the Sea of Galilee, apparently, and are going to wait for him when he gets to the other side. They're chasing him. And he and the disciples are trying to have some moments of rest. Jesus teaches us first here that even he needed quiet time with God. And the disciples knew they needed it as well. It's a challenge for many of us to find quiet time with God. A man once said to me, every time I sit down and pray, I fall asleep. Anybody ever have that happen? Somebody else once said that as they were praying, they kept thinking of all the other things they had to do. They couldn't keep focused. And how many times we know we might need to sit and pray, read the Bible, be still before God, but then we've got to play that computer game, we've got to watch that television show, we can't miss the game, and on, and we get detoured again from what we know is important, spending quiet time with God. I want you to know that even as a pastor, this is real for me. Because it can be very easy to become consumed in the day-to-day routine things of ministry, not all of which are particularly highly spiritual. I mean, we're chasing a chipmunk today, right? So now that's on my list of things to do. Be sure we get the chipmunk out. Let me write that down. Right? So for me as well, it can be challenging to be disciplined about making quiet time with God, time for prayer, time to read the scriptures, time to get away, as Jesus said, come apart with me for this quiet time. Because life, work, family, ministry can get in the way. Let me suggest to us three things to put in our minds when we realize that God is getting crowded out of our lives and pushed off to the side. Three things to think about so that we can work our way back into this regular pattern of having quiet time with God. The first thing is to think about your priorities. One of the sad realities that seems to have inculcated much of life is that people seem to think that everything is of equal importance and the ability to prioritize has been lost. And so something pops up and all of a sudden we find ourselves almost knee-jerk tending to that. But priorities tell us that some things are more important than others. And so when God begins to get squeezed out of your life, ask yourself, what's my real priority here? And does my expenditure of time and energy and money represent what's really important to me? Imagine this scenario. Aliens from the planet Zombus send representatives to spy on our culture, to take a report back to the Grand Poobah of Zombus what this culture is like. They spend time secretly among us, spying on us and watching us and trying to figure out who we are and what our culture is all about. And finally, they're finished with their work and they return to the planet Zombus. And they're standing before the great Pumbaa. And he asks, "So tell me, what's the most important thing to the people in America on the planet Earth?" And the leader of the delegation says, "Oh, Grand Pumbaa, I know exactly. Our report is very clear. The most important thing to the people on planet Earth in the country of America is to stare at screens." And the Grand Poobah says, "Well, what kind of screens?" And the reporter says, "Well, sir, it doesn't matter. There are big screens. Some want them very, very big. And some want them small. And some want them tiny. And these screens are everywhere." "Well, what's on the screen? It doesn't seem to matter," said the delegation leader. "Sometimes there's people moving. Sometimes there's little games. We don't know, but everybody has a screen. Sometimes they have four or five screens. The most important thing to the people on the planet Earth, oh, great Pumbaa, is to stare at screens." So is that your priority? Yes, we have to work. I have a computer at my desk. I have a smartphone. But is that your and my priority? How we spend our time, energy, and money represents what our priorities truly are. When God seems to get crowded out, and you know it, and God sure knows it, ask yourself, what are my priorities, and do I need to tweak or perhaps dramatically rearrange those priorities? A second thing to think about is perspective. When God begins to get crowded out, when you know that you have not spent adequate time with God for a long time, when you know that your prayer life, scripture study, worship life, even your attentiveness to the presence of God has gotten pushed aside and everything else is coming in, and life is getting in the way, ask yourself about your perspective. You see, perspective is so incredibly important to live this life because perspective asks us to take the long view and the broader look. And we are so tempted to look at the immediate and the now and the instant gratification to which we are all subjected. Perspective in life says, what's the longer view? Where do I want to wind up down the road? And is my priority now going to get to that longer view? Sometimes parents will come and ask for some thoughts about how to better raise their children, especially in spiritual matters. And I will always say this to them. Where do you want your child to end up? You see, we have to start, whether it's in parenting or in our work life or in our marriages, we have to start with an idea of where we want to end up. Start with the end in mind. So if you want, I would say to such a parent, if you want your child to be an active Christian participating in the life of the church, trusting God and weaving faith into their whole lives, do things now so that in the long run, the longer perspective, they will come out there. Maybe you've seen the commercial for water. Forget what company it is. It's a very effective commercial, though, because it says if you will just have your child drink one bottle of water a day instead of one bottle of soda, they will not consume 50,000 calories in 1 year. The long view. I remember as a parent of a daughter who in high school was a very active and exceptional athlete. And Christina came to love basketball, and that's the sport in which she excelled and went on to college and played at Rutgers. But I remember saying to her repeatedly throughout, there's life after basketball. The longer view, the broader look. When life seems to crowd in, ask yourself about your perspective. Open yourself to the longer view. Where do you want to wind up in your relationship with God? Where do you want your family to wind up in your relationship with God, your children, your grandchildren? What's the longer view, and how can you get from here to there? The third thing to think about when God seems to get crowded off to the side is, and this is just because it's a P, we got priorities, you got perspective, planning. I don't know how your life is, but my life is pretty planned. I mean, you get organized, right? Maybe you have a to-do list, or at least it's up here, and you plan what you're going to do much of your time. And so maybe there's a soccer practice after school, and then there's ShopRite, and then there's the dry cleaners. What if in your conscious and, yes, even written to-do list plan, you said to yourself, pray? I have a calendar. I keep a calendar, and I could not walk from here to the other side of the campus without knowing what's on my calendar. Everything is scripted. Appointments. I had 4 yesterday. But what if I put after that 4th appointment at 4 o'clock 15 minutes of prayer written on my calendar? Why not? Why not plan to spend time with God? As Jesus asked his disciples, let's go apart intentionally to spend time with God. The ironic part about the plan that Jesus had is that it got interrupted. And we all know how plans get interrupted. He planned to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee for this quiet time. But the crowds beat him there. So you know what they wound up having? They wound up having quiet time on their commute. On the boat. Well, maybe you need to plan, if you commute to work, for that to be your quiet time. Why not have a prayer taped to your dashboard? Why not have Christian music on the CD? Why not spend time praying while you're driving? Eyes open, please. Why not? We can plan how it is we will spend time with God, just as I hope that it's a part of your plan to worship when you're not ill or out of the area. We make intentional plans to draw closer to God. There's a wonderful story out of an African movie of the 1950s. You may remember some of these movies. There's a group of white explorers who are driving deep into the jungles of Africa. And they're escorted and helped by a group of porters, African men who are carrying their heavy supplies deep into the jungle, day after day, week after week. They would get up in the morning, porters would lift everything up, and off they would go, miles more deep into the jungle. But then, one day, as the leader of the expedition called for the porters to pick up all of the supplies and once again head out, all of the African porters just sat there and didn't move. The leader of the expedition asked the head porter, what's the problem? And the man said wisely, the men say that we have been moving so fast that we need to wait here for a while so that our souls have time to catch up to our bodies. In the busyness and fast-paced nature of our life, sometimes we too get far ahead of our souls and far distant from our spirits. May you choose very intentionally to look at your priorities on a regular basis, to keep the longer view and the broader perspective, and to plan in your own way to spend time with God so that God is a part of your every day. Will you pray with me? Eternal and ever-present God, as we consider Jesus' call to his disciples and to us to come apart, to spend time intentionally with you, Lord, we have to confess that we often don't do that very well, that the busyness and speed of life detour us, distract us and keep us from tending to our souls. So, Lord, I pray that as we've heard this word again today, we may choose better, choose to make you a priority each day, choose to keep the long view on our spiritual journey, choose to plan carefully and thoughtfully to spend time with you, each in our own way. Father God, as we come before you in prayer, there are some among us in this room today, heavily burdened by sorrow, broken relationships, troubles at work, problems of health. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would bring a peace into the hearts of all such children. That peace which passes understanding would grant assurance, blessed assurance, so that all would know that whatever may come in the future, you will be there. You will guide us, strengthen us, and be with us, whatever tomorrow may bring. These things and all of the silent and depth prayers of our hearts, we come to you with now, Lord, in the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who is for us the way and the truth and the life. And therefore, in his name and with his words, we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.